Thank everyone for coming. The title of today's shiur is Writing, Abbreviating, and Dreaming the Yemei Sefira Ha'Omer. We're going to try to discuss various other forms of counting the Sefira Ha'Omer, not in the typical speech form of today is X amount of days and X amount of weeks, rather carrying it through and counting it either through forms of writing or counting it in a sophisticated mathematical equation, or dreaming about the days of Sefira Ha'Omer. So at first glance, we would assume that Sefira Ha'Omer is in a category of mitzvahs that need to be done with dibur. We have to enunciate it with our mouth. And if that's true, then it should follow the same principles that other mitzvahs which need to be done with dibur follow. For example, we all know the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So Kriya Shema needs to be said. There's no understanding that Kriya Shema could be written down, right? If I was sitting in the morning, instead of davening, I would just write down Kriya Shema. We don't find a discussion in the Paiskim if someone should be Yaitzeh's mitzvah or not. So if we're going to say that Sefira Ha'Omer is specifically with Dibur, so the question shouldn't even start. Why is there going to be a discussion, which we're going to discuss shortly, of whether or not you can fulfill the mitzvah of Sefira Ha'Omer with Ksiva? Furthermore, there's a well-known halacha by Sefira Ha'Omer that if someone would ask you in the evening or after even Bein HaShemashes, after twilight, what's tonight's counting going to be? We all know you never say what tonight's counting going to be. That's the big no-no, because then you might be yotzei the mitzvah. You always say last night was 29. And the guy hopefully will infer 29 plus 1 will get it to tonight will be 30. But you never say that tonight is. Now, we have a principle which we, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Nuchas Kriya Shema, another mitzvah which has to be done by Dibur, that mitzvah is Trichas Kavana, and that's the Shulchan Aruch Paskins by Kriya Shema. You have to have a specific intention to be Yaitzeh the mitzvah. So if you have to have a specific intention to be Yaitzeh the mitzvah, why is it that I can't say tonight, or if my friend asks me, Yitzi, what's tonight's sphere going to be? Why can't I just say tonight's going to be 30? I didn't have in mind to fulfill any mitzvah. I'm just doing my friend a favor and telling him a straightforward answer. I'm not trying to, you know, speak in a backhanded way. Why is it so posh in the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that if I would say tonight is 30, I lost my chance to make a bracha, and if I speak out the sefira, and then tomorrow night I can continue with the bracha. But by other mitzvahs, like we said, b'dibor, there is a poshut asvar, that a poshut halacha, that mitzvah tzrichas kavana, without proper kavana, can't be yaitzeh the mitzvah. Furthermore, we have another concept in many mitzvahs b'dibor, like we have by Kiddush, of Shemea Ka'ina. Right? I'm not saying the words by myself. If I intently and carefully listen to the person who's saying it out loud, I can fulfill my obligation by just tuning into his station. By Sefira Ha'Omer, the Paiskim are very mistopic. They're not so sure if I can be Yaitzeh by listening to someone else count the days and the weeks. Why not? If it's just a simple mitzvah b'dibur, if it's just that I have to enunciate it with my mouth, so this principle of Shemei Ka'ina should very straightforwardly tell me, if I tune into you, if I have my antennas up and I'm listening carefully, I should be Yaitzeh just by listening to you. So we see from all these discussions that we're going to discuss, hopefully some of them, that it's not so pasha that Sefira just is a regular mitzvah, b'dibur, it's a regular mitzvah, just has to be spoken out with the mouth. So the first discussion we're going to focus on is the nidun in the achronim, if we say ksivo is k'dibur. Now, let's just speak out for a minute. We're going to try to speak it out first before we look at the written word. That the point of dibur, the point of me speaking something out, is to bring to fruition, is to bring to the ma'isa, something which beforehand was just a hira ba'alma, just something which was a mere thought in my mind. I'm thinking something, you don't know what I'm thinking, we can't read each other's minds, so I speak it out, I bring to fruition that which was just a hira, just a thought. So seemingly it should follow that if I accomplish that by another fashion, I write it down, I have now brought into even a more tangible form, it's something even more physical than dibur, bringing something, putting something down on a piece of paper. So you should think logically that if the purpose is just to bring something out from a thought process to something which is more lemaisa, so ksiva accomplishes that same goal, or even maybe better. Like they say, the written word is forever. So it's more of a lasting. If I just speak something now, unless it's being recorded, it's in one out in one ear and potentially out the other ear, or maybe it might be coiled for some amount of time, but it's not as everlasting. So if I write something down, perhaps there's as far to say that it's even more strong of a reason why someone should be yaitzeh the mitzvah. So let's first discuss the tshuvas Reb Kiva Eiger and Simon Chav Tes, now, which is number one in the booklet. This tshuva is really not written by Reb Kiva Eiger. It was written by his uncle, Rav Wolf Eiger. Just a slight historical background. Rav Wolf Eiger was the uncle of Reb Kiva Eiger. It was not his father's brother, as you might have thought, because his last name was Eiger and his last name was Eiger. Rather, it was his mother's brother, and for specific reasons we're not going to discuss right now, Reb Kiva Eiger adapted his mother's last name. So his uncle, Rav Wolf Eger, his mother's brother, writes him a letter. A little bit of a background, it's a fascinating discussion. This letter was written at a suda that was being held in honor of Rabbi Akiva Eger's wedding. Akiva Eger was getting married in some town further away in Europe, and in those days it was hard to travel. So his uncle and other family members and other rabbanim who were very excited, but for whatever reason physically could not travel to the chasana, they held a suda in their town in commemoration of the chasana that was taking place a couple hundred kilometers away. And what did Talmid HaChacham do by the suda? I'm sure they ate a little something. I don't know if they had any fleishiks, but at least they sat and they discussed Torah the whole suda. And then his uncle, as a wedding present, writes up the shtickle Torah that we discussed by your wedding in our town. And here's our shtickle Torah. Here's our discussion we were discussing. Please share your insights with us. And Rabbi Akiva Eger, right away, doesn't wait, you know, I just got married, I'm a little busy, I don't have time to write letters for you. And he right away responds. But this tshuva we're going to focus on now, Simon Chavtes, it's actually the letter written by his uncle, Rav Wolf Eger, to the Chassan Rav Akiva Eger, and telling him what was discussed by his, I don't know what the right word is, his wedding that was held in commemoration for him in a different town.
The wedding celebration.
Wedding celebration, but without the actual chuppah, I guess, right?
What was his name before?
Other last name was Ginz, Rav Akiva Eger Ginz.
Gin?
Like Gans, Ginz, I don't know, Gimel Yud Nun Zayin. Okay, so they discussed many riots from various places throughout Shas. We're going to try to focus on some of them. We're not going to be able to discuss all of them. We'll try to pick out some of them and try to bring from there. If you could say, yes, Kesiva is Kedibra, that writing something is accomplishing the same halachic outcome as speaking it out, or not. So the first case they discuss is if someone takes his pen and writes down, Hareini Mikabel Olai, I'm going to accept, I'm accepting upon myself, Chaymer HaShavua, the full validity and the full stringency of all of an oath to do dot dot dot. I'm accepting upon myself that I will do a specific action. So if I speak that out with my mouth, so that's a full-fledged shvuah, I'm now obligated to carry forth that oath. The question is, if I write it down, does that writing carry the same stringency as speaking that or not? So Rav Wolf Eger quotes from a other previous shvuah. We're just going to focus on the way he speaks it out. Is that unless you speak it out with your mouth specifically, the shavua is not valid. So if I write down, Hareini Mikabel Olai Shavua, I never speak it out with my mouth, I just write it down on a piece of paper, even if it's plastered all over the shul, that I swear I will do this, according to many paiskim, that it is not a valid shavua. Writing it down is not obligate me as a way of an oath. Now, it might be I should carry it out because I wrote it down and it's only honest if I would carry through my word. Fine, that's true, but in Chaymer HaShavua, could you hold me to the fact that I took an oath to it? In Halacha, the answer is no. So Rav Wolf Eger wants to say, so this should seemingly imply that Ksiva is not Kedibor, because if I speak it out, then I have to keep my Shavua, but if I write it down, I don't have to keep my Shavua.
Does he have to announce it in the Shul or something? Who has to be there to hear about it?
Any time a person takes a Shavua? That's a good question. Well, even if he speaks it out privately, if he speaks it out, then he will be obligated to uphold it. Now, if no one else knows about it, that might be a technical issue that no one else can hold him obligatory to it. But he himself, if he speaks out, he has become a chayiv in a binding oath. If he only writes it down, we're saying, that doesn't bind him.
But he has to verbalize it.
He has to verbalize it. So that would seem to imply, since he has to verbalize the oath, that ksiva is not kedibor. However, Rav Wolf Eger and Rav Akiva Eger both are matcha this, right? They deflect this proof and say, no, there's a specific halacha, which we're not going to get involved in all the details of it, but the Gemara learns out that there's a halacha by Shavua of bitui sifasayim. A person must enunciate it with his mouth. And until one does that, it's a gzeras hakasav by Shavua, that it's not a binding oath. So although by Shavuos we see, by oaths and vows, we see that if a person writes it down, it doesn't bind him, but you can't bring that as a proof to other cases of whether or not Ksiva is Kedibor. So therefore, by Sfiras Omer, we have no proof yet from the case of Shavua. So that's attempted proof one, and then deflect on proof one. The next raya they attempt is from a Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah in Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis is discussing, the Mishnah says, that if a person is writing a Megillah, a Sefer who's writing a Megillah, or a person who's reading a Megillah, and he's just like, he's reading the words to correct and see if there's any printing, you know, writing mistakes in the Megillah. So the Mishnah says, if he has specific intention while he's writing the Megillah to be Yaitza, the Kriyas HaMegillah, say it's on Purim Day, he's writing a Megillah on Purim Day. If he has specific intention to fulfill his obligation, he is Yaitza. If he does not have the specific intention, if he does not have the right Kavana, he is not Yaitza the Mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, for the exact details, what exactly is this case talking about? So the Gemara clarifies, the case is talking about where he's writing the Pesukim by heart. So he says them out loud, and then he writes them down. And that's why you could be Yaitza, because you're speaking it out. That would seem to imply that just writing the Megillah by itself without speaking out the words, there is no havamina that you should fulfill your obligation of Megillah. Now, why is that? If you say Ksiva is Kedibor, if you would say that writing is like speaking it out, why does the Gemara have to say that you are specifically reading the Megillah and then writing it down? Just writing down Megillah, Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh, even if your mouth is silent, you should have fulfilled your obligation. Therefore, that would seem to imply that Ksiva is not Kedibor, that writing it does not fulfill your obligations of speaking it out, and therefore the Gemara has to specifically say that you are speaking it out loud while you're writing the Megillah.
He writes it first, then speaks it out.
Speaks
it out first, and
okay, fine,
it.
Right, you're correct, I'm sorry. Right, you're correct. He writes it out, and then he speaks it out, so that it's as if he's reading it from a written document, as opposed to saying it by heart. Correct. Okay, thank you. That's the attempted proof to prove that Ksiva is not Kedibor, but Kiveger is matzah this proof, and says that even if you say Ksiva is Kedibur, you can't bring a raya from here one way or the other, because there's a specific halacha by Megillah, which the Gemara says later, that tzorach lahashmiya la'oznav. A person who's reading the Megillah has to read loud enough that it has to hear, he has to reach his ears. Meaning, if a person is even technically saying all the words, but he's saying it so low that he cannot hear it, he won't be yaitz the mitzvah. So all the more so, if a person's writing it, and he is not specifically speaking it out, he won't be yaitz the mitzvah. So again, says Riki Vager, you have no proof from this case that Ksiva is Kedibur or not, because by Megillah, there are special parameters of how we guide the halacha of Megillah, of reading the Megillah on Purim.
So a person who's deaf cannot be mapping the Megillah.
He cannot, because he can't hear himself. There's a fascinating discussion, which we're not discussing right now, but if a person who has who's hard of hearing, who's wearing hearing aids, or other cases where he cannot hear at all without them, how could he fulfill his obligation? Meaning, if you can hear and just making it more amplified, that might be different as opposed to someone who totally is not able to hear, but we're not going to discuss that right now. Okay. The third attempted proof to weigh in over here of whether or not we could say Ksiva is Kedibur or not, Rav Wolf Eger brings a proof from Hilchas Pesach. He brings that the Beis Yosef in Hilchas Pesach writes, why is it that we make the bracha on Erev Pesach at the night before while we're doing the Bedikas Chametz? The main mitzvah is not to search for the chametz. The mitzvah is to destroy the chametz, the bir chametz. So why is it that we just make the bracha at the time that we're searching for the chametz? Why don't we make a bracha at the time that we're doing the mitzvah, the main mitzvah, which is destroying the chametz? The Beis Yosef writes, because since the mitzvah of nullifying the chametz is just bittul, is just having in mind to make it hefker, and that is belave, that doesn't need any maisa, we want to do the bracha at a time we're doing a specific action. An action is a time that requires a bracha. Something could be done totally in the heart, meaning a person could make up in his mind and in his heart that he's going to nullify all his chametz, and he's fulfilled the basic obligation of getting rid of his chametz before Pesach. Now, of course, we want to do the most we can. We go ahead and we destroy it, and we sell it to the rabbi. We do all types of things to make sure we fulfilled it properly. But according to the strict letter of the law, says the Beis Yosef, since you can fulfill the obligation of nullifying your chametz just belave or behirhur, and therefore we don't make a bracha on something which is purely behirhur, we all make a bracha on something which has a maisa to it, and therefore, says the Beis Yosef, when it comes to searching for the chametz, that's when we make a bracha on the mitzvah. Okay, so too says Rav Wolf Eger, it should follow that since we have a takanas chazal that we have to make a bracha on Sfiras Omer, it must be that Sfiras Omer needs a maisa, i.e. a dibur, because ksiva, says Rav Wolf Eger, would maybe just be like a hirhur. It's not as much as a maisa, or much of a, I'm looking for a better word,
action.
And much of an action, I guess, but I'm sure it's a more sophisticated word, as a dibur. He understands that ksiva would just be like a hirhur. It's not actually materializing it into the spoken word. The spoken word carries more weight, as you see from other halachas, like by shvur, like we said before. Therefore, he says, I would like to suggest to the full figure that we see from this halacha of bir chametz that you have to make a bracha by the bedika, because the bracha goes on a maisa, that it should be that Sfiras Omer can only be done bedibur and not b'ksiva. Now, could be the reason why I'm having a hard time speaking out this raya is because Rav Kiveger is matre this raya very strongly and says that ksiva is a bona fide maisa. Ksiva itself is an action, so you can't prove to me that it has to be done with a maisa, and that maisa must be dibur, because it has to be done with a maisa, fine, but ksiva is a good maisa. So you can't bring a proof, he says, from here, from bir chametz, that you need a maisa to accompany a bracha, because he says, hagufa, ksiva is a maisa. So if ksiva is a maisa, perhaps it could be yetzer sfira with writing, and therefore he says, it's inconclusive proof from bir chametz.
But ksiva is more of a maisa than dibur. Because you say dibur, all over the place, you say dibur is not a maisa.
Well, okay. I mean, there are specific cases where dibur is more binding. Like, for example, we said by shvuah, right?
Well, but if you have a lav shein bo maisa.
Oh, okay. Right. So there are right. If you have lav shein bo maisa, correct. So you see, so you're backing up Rav Akiva Eiger that ksiva is even more of a bona fide maisa. So if you're going to say that sfiras omer needs a maisa because you're making a brach on it, then it should follow that ksiva should work for it. Right. Fine. So those are the three main proofs that Rav Akiva Eiger discusses. Now, there are four tshuvas, two of them written by Rav Wolf Eiger, two of them written by Rav Akiva Eiger, where they go back and forth with many other proofs. At the end of the day, at the end of Siman Lamed Beis, we spoke out a lot of what's from Siman Chav Tes, but at the end, Siman Lamed Beis, three tshuvas later, Rav Akiva Eiger does not rule conclusively on the idea. He kind of leaves it hanging up for further discussion if yes, or if not, by Sfira Soimer, could one fulfill his obligation by writing it down or not? Now, I just want to point out, this is only going to be, let's say now, last night was 29, right? The only way you can fulfill your obligation, according to all Paiskim, is if you said today is 29th day, 4 weeks, and one day. So if you're going to want to fulfill your obligation by writing it down, you can't just write 29, right? You'd have to write 29, today is the 29th day of the Omer, 4 weeks, and one day. Now, really, that is a machlekes rishonim. I don't want to get bogged down in those details, but since we paskin that in order to be yotzei to the mitzvah completely, you have to say the days and the weeks, therefore, just to point out, this discussion is going to be specifically where you're writing out the whole formula. You're not just writing out 29. Where there'll be even those paiskin want to be machmir, that ksiva is kedibor, there will still be room to argue and say you didn't properly speak out the sfira, so that might give you room to potentially still say with a bracha, perhaps. Number two on the booklet, the Birkei Yosef, the Chida, so he also weighs in heavily on this discussion, if you say ksiva is kedibor by sfira soimer or not, and he brings up another proof. He brings a fascinating halacha, as follows. The Shulchan Aruch and Yoredei paskins that if someone makes a neder, I make a vow, I spoke it out, I enunciated the vow, I will never speak to Shmeril again. And I say it, it's binding, I said a vow, I'm never going to speak to Shmeril again. The halacha is, I'm allowed to write him a letter. That's the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Says the Chida, that should seem to prove that Ksiva is not Kedivor. Because if I made a vow that I will never speak to Shmeril again, so I can never speak to him unless I nullify my vow. But nonetheless, I can write him a letter. So if I can write him a letter, that would seem to imply that Ksiva is not Kedivor, because I'm not speaking to him. I'm just sending him the written word. The written word is not speaking. That's he wants to say, perhaps there's a raya that Ksiva is not Kedivor.
No, that just proves that's two separate acts.
Okay.
Talking is one thing, writing is something else.
Excellent.
That's all.
Right. That's what we want to say. That's what we want to deflect the proof. We want to deflect the proof as follows. The Paiskin, the Birkei Yosef himself speaks out from other Paiskin that who deflect this proof that no, you can't prove from this halacha and Shulchan Aruch anything because, let's go back to the case. I made a neder, I'm never going to speak to Shmeril again. Fine. So I can't speak to Shmeril face to face, but I can send my friend to be a messenger to deliver a message to Shmeril. When I make a neder specifically that I won't speak to Shmeril, it's the way I said it. It means I won't speak to him. The fact that I can send him communication, I can text him a message, I can send him an email, I can write him a letter, I can send a messenger to deliver him another oral message, all those are permitted forms of communication with him because that's not included in specifically what I said. A neder is specific to the way I accepted upon myself. So if I accept upon myself a vow, I will not speak to that person again. That's all it binds me to. The fact in Lomdus, or whether that Ksiva is Kedib or not, that is not included in the neder in the expression of the vow when I took it upon myself that I won't speak to that person again. And the Birkei Yosef discusses other cases, and the Birkei Yosef paskins halacha lemaisa that for Sfira Soimer Ksiva is not Kedibor, and therefore if a person would write tonight, let's say, before a person counted Sfira Soimer, he would write a letter to his friend and he would date it. Hayayim Shleishim Yom Loimer Shehem Abba Shavuos or Shnei Yomim Loimer. If a person would write that tonight, according to Birkei Yosef, he has not fulfilled any obligation, and therefore he can still count with a bracha and live a happily ever after. That's the Birkei Yosef does conclude that you're not Yaitze.
How about Mechayim Nisim?
By Mechayim Mason.
You write your friend a letter.
Right.
You
okay.
Can't, and do deeper.
Right. That's a good question because there's another halacha. The halacha he's asking is that if I don't see somebody for a prolonged period of time, then after I see him, let's say I think it's a month, right? 30 days, right? If I don't see him after 30 days, then I can make a bracha Mechayim Mason when I see him. Halacha Maisa we don't usually practice nowadays for various reasons, but that's
it's after Yom Kippur.
After Yom Kippur, some people say also, right?
Trinity's Shechiyonu.
Right, okay, fine. I don't remember all the parameters of that right this minute. And so he's asking that if I write him a letter, right, it's as if...
then you can make a bracha.
You could, yes, make a bracha.
You cannot
make a bracha. Okay, so what are you saying? If you cannot make a bracha, so you see from there
that it's
kedibur dami because it's, well, okay, because the point, I think the point of that bracha is that I'm so happy that you're still alive. I didn't know if you were alive or not. There was some reason why I might have thought that the person passed away. Now that I see you, I can be excited to make that bracha. But if I have communication with you, so whether or not I was like speaking or not, that's a side point. The point is I know you're alive and well, right? So I've proven you're alive and well from the fact that I wrote you a letter. I texted you a message. So I got that. That message came across to me that you're still alive, so therefore I would not be able to make a bracha. Okay. Okay, now there's another raya I want to discuss, which is not, Kiveri doesn't bring this raya, the Bekiyesh doesn't bring this raya, and at first glance, this is seemingly a KO punch that Ksiva should be Kedibur. The Chassam Sofer discussed this raya Bekitzer, it's a number 3 on the papers. The Ramban ala Torah, in the beginning of Parshas Yisroi, says as follows. The beginning of Yisroi, Yisroi is coming to join Klal Yisrael, and the Pasuk says, Pasuk Vav, in the beginning of the Parsha, Vayomer el Moshe, Yisrael says to Moshe, Ani choysencha Yisrael bo'alecha, behold, I am your father, Yisrael, I am coming to you. Now, there's a problem here. Yisrael was not physically there yet. Yisrael was in his hometown still. He was coming towards Moshe. Nonetheless, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Yisrael, and Yisrael said. So Rashi right away points out that it means that Yisrael sent a messenger. He sent his messenger boy to go ahead and deliver to my son, Moshe, the following message. However, the Ramban says that's untenable, because if you read the words of the Pasuk, it doesn't fit in that the messenger should say, I am Yisrael, your father-in-law. That's not the messenger. The messenger would say, here is a message from your father-in-law, Yisrael. Therefore, the Ramban says, really it's coming from a Medrash, that Yisrael sent Moshe Rabbeinu a letter. This is the original postal service in the Midbar. I don't know how it worked exactly, but Yisrael sends Moshe a letter. The Ramban says, "Sholach lehadavri migeres." The Yisrael sends Moshe a letter, and it says the following words in the letter: "I am Yisrael, your father-in-law." Dot dot dot, etc. Says the Chassam Sofer. Says the Achronim. You have a pasuk in the Torah which is saying "Vayoyimer," and he said, and it's how is the speech accomplished through nigeres, through a letter, according to the Ramban. So how could we have a whole discussion? Writing is Kedibur, writing is not Kedibur. Seemingly we have a Pasuk Lehejah in the Torah which says, Vayomer, and he said, and that is only being accomplished through Ksiva, through writing. And the Ramban ends off with another place in Tanakh where we find this, by Chiram Melech Tzur, Chiram the king of Tyre. He sends a letter to Shlomo HaMelech, and also the Pasuk there says, Vayomer, Chiram says to Shlomo HaMelech, and it was accomplished there also through a letter. So we have two places in Tanakh. Before we even get to the Gemaras, we have two places in Tanakh where the word Vayomer very clearly means that it was accomplished through writing. So therefore, the Chassam Sofer Paskins, Kesiva is Kedibur, and this is one of his proofs, because you see in the Torah, the word Vayomer means writing. Good proof, seemingly.
Have you ever established the fact that Sfira Soimer, the counting of the Omer, has to be done by Dibur?
No. There's a reason why I didn't do that.
Okay.
because that would lack me. He started off saying that presumably the fact that it should be a mitzvah is a b'dibur because we have to count something. Same way we have to do the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. We said it seemingly is something which is accomplished b'dibur.
Okay. So I started off with that presumption. Crossing it off on a calendar.
Okay. Right.
That's counting.
I would agree to you, but let's see. We'll see a little further. So the Ramban is seemingly a knockout raya. That ksiva is kedibur because we have a pasuk in the Torah and in Neviim, ksuvim, that by the word vayomer means ksiva. Comes along to Kli Chemda.
Did you somebody say that was secret dvarim b'alma? It's not related to any mitzvah. It's related to a message.
Okay, you could perhaps, Neil wants me matre, and say that there's no halacha that was being discussed over there. It was just the Torah is telling over the story, so to speak. So the Torah used that word to tell over the story. You can't extract halachas from there. Perhaps you can argue that, but at the same time, the Torah, you know, is exacting in its wording. And why does the Torah write it like that? Seemingly, maybe you can extract from there that the word Vayomer could go either way. So even if I have a specific halacha to say something, which is arguable, like Florence was raising, nonetheless, I should perhaps be able to fulfill my obligation through writing it. But the Kli Chemda, who was a Rav in Poland in the early 1900s, he has a fascinating way to be matzah the Raya from the Ramban. He says, if you look carefully, what are the two proofs the Ramban has? From Yisrael and from Chiram. Both of them were great people, but both of them had the status, at least Yisrael for sure at this point, and Chiram for sure his whole life, had a status of being B'nai Noach. They were not Jews. They were fine people maybe, but they weren't Yidden. And the Kli Chemda says, I would like to make a distinction between B'nai Noyach and B'nai Yisrael. Why is that? He says, even the Ramban, who's going to say that perhaps Kasiva is Kedibro, because the word Vayomer means that he wrote him a letter, is only saying that by B'nai Noyach. He says, because if you look a couple of psukim later in Parshas Yisroi, Yisroi is telling Moshe that he heard about what the Mitzrayim got punished, Ki badavar asher zodu aleihem, for that which the Egyptians plotted and planned against the B'nai Yisrael. And the Ramban speaks out that the B'nai Noach are punished even for things which they planned to carry out, the averas they plotted to carry out, even if they didn't bring them to fruition. He brings further the Targum Unkelos on that pasuk, which says, Pisgami, these thoughts, the Hashivi Mitzrayim lemeidan Yos Yisrael, these plans that the Egyptians plotted against the Jewish people. Like we know, they wanted to drown the Moshe and Shel Yisrael. They saw in their stars, right? They saw the Mazalos that the Moshe and Shel Yisrael is going to be born, is going to be born and is going to be destroyed in the water. So they wanted, they did this whole thing with throwing all the boys in the water. And that's why the Mitzrayim ultimately got the punishment of drowning in water. Even though they were unsuccessful in what they plotted to do. They plotted to wipe out the Moshe and Shel Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu. They were unsuccessful in that because he was in the box, Basya saved him, etc. All familiar with the story. Nonetheless, we see from a Chazal they're being punished for it. Therefore, says the Kli Chemda, by B'nai Noyach, Hirur, a mere thought, is Kedibur, Lira, for punishment. Therefore, he continues, just like here is Kedibur Lira, for punishment, it could follow, perhaps we can argue, says the Kli Chemda, and say, that Hirur is Kedibur even for Toiv, even for an action. He brings a Raya, that even B'dinei Adam, B'nei Noach, are going to be punished on the lav of Loisis Ave. He brings a Chinuch on the Rishonim who paskin, that a Ben Noach is Muzer on the lav of Loisis Ave, thou shalt not be jealous. Now, a Yid cannot be punished on such a thing because you need Azhara, you need Edim, and it's all in the thought process, Loisis Ave, thou shalt not covet and be jealous of another person's possessions. But a Ben Noach, he says, let's not get bogged down with his riot right now, though he's Muzer on that lav, and could be punished even in a Bezdin Shalmata downstairs over here on such a lav. Therefore, he says it should follow suit. Perhaps he says you can argue that a Ben Noach specifically is Machshava's Kedibur, and therefore Ksiva's Kedibur, but by a B'nai Yisrael, you will never have a proof, and therefore the Ramban is not a conclusive proof to this discussion at all, because there's only two proofs that the Ramban has, is from Yisrael and from Chirum Melech Tzur. That's the Kli Chemda suggestion. He ends off, though, the last couple words says, V'tzarach in b'kol zeh, I'm still in doubt about all this. V'kasafti, I've wrote all this, l'hayir leivav ha-talmidim, to arouse the hearts of the students to think about this and to contemplate it more. He's not deciding conclusively on this distinction, but nonetheless, he's raising the distinction, he has proofs to it, and I think it was a fascinating argument to say that even if you have a riot from the Ramban, perhaps it's only for B'nai Noach and not for B'nai Yisrael. Yes?
Two things, actually. Number one is, why wouldn't we say from the beginning that it's almost a common formulary that if the Torah tells us to say something with a mira, or gives us a mitzvah to that, then the kasiva would even be kavachomer, a stronger way of being able to communicate something. Because anytime you see that one has to commit a gemira's das, and that has to remain, that has to be in writing. That has to be.
Okay, so we raised that point in the beginning, but at the same time we said by kamsa halacha of shvua, we see that's not true. If a person writes down harayni mekabalai shvua and never speaks it out with his mouth, the shvua is not binding. He's not bound to that oath. There are certain halachas which Neil brought before also that you see that dibor is weaker than ksiva, but at the same time we have the face-off that sometimes ksiva is weaker than mira. We're just kind of vacillating back and forth, and we're showing with different cases sometimes ksiva trumps dibor, and sometimes dibor trumps ksiva. Kind of, yeah, and that was part of the proofs that Kivego was discussing, where you see it really depends on every case differently. You can't bring it as a klal, as a principle, for Kol HaTerekula.
So the other point was that there's maybe also another distinction here in the case of Hiram and Shlomo, and also by Yisro and Moshe, is you're dealing with Malchus over there. And with Malchus, if something's put in writing, basically, it's a done dumber.
Okay, I'm not sure how you know that distinction. First of all, that's a discussion of Moshe Ben Hadadin Melech or not. Could be true he was the leader of Klal Yisrael, but if you want to get involved in Malchus, I don't know if he was a king per se, but besides that point, I hear you're making a chilek. I don't know why necessarily it's mischalik. I don't know why it makes a distinction, why it carries through. I'm not sure.
When a mitzvah counts, 7 days.
Oh, very good. I'll get there in a minute. By Zavo. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to
so
that
he doesn't have to utter it.
Okay, right. We'll get there in a minute.
Machshava Kamaisa is not the same thing as Ksiva Kedibur.
Okay, fine. You could argue that point. But we said in the beginning, perhaps Ksiva is at least a Machshava. Perhaps it's more than a Machshava, but at least it's a Machshava. So if you're going to say that Machshava is Kamaisa, then perhaps that's the Klichem that was vacillating. Perhaps even Ksiva won't be more than that. Okay, let's move on and drop. We have, now before we can, we'll get back to this shortly, but let's change channels for a minute. The Mishnah Berurah, number 6, we'll skip to number 6 for a minute, speaks out in Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer that if someone on the 39th day of the Omer wants to be a little sophisticated, and instead of saying tonight is the 39th day of the Omer, he wants to say Hayoyim is Arboyim Yomim Chaser Achas, right? Today is 40 minus 1. He has fulfilled his obligation.
He has fulfilled
his obligation if he said tonight is 40 minus 1. That's what Mishnah Berurah says, doesn't discuss more than that. That would seem to imply that one could count in any obscure fashion of any mathematical equation, meaning on the 25th night, one should be able to count, if you know how to say this in Hebrew or even in English, you can count. Tonight is the fifth, 5 to the second, you know, to its power of Sfiras HaOmer, you know, it's the 25th night. If you have some sophisticated mathematical equation, it should follow from the simple reading of the Mishnah Berurah that you should be able to fulfill your obligation of Sfira by using an obscure mathematical equation. However, Shlomo Zalman points out that wouldn't be true. Shlomo Zalman in number 7 paskins, Shlomo Zalman Orbach paskins, that the only time we can have an understanding that you can be yaita in math is only if we find a precedent in Chazal that such a way of counting is considered counting. We have a precedent in Chazal by Malkus, by the third 9 Malachas, that Arboyim, Chasr Achas, a minus 1 is as if the same number. So says of Shlomo Zalman, the Mishnah Berurah is coming from those Achrayim who say that you can count in mathematical equation that would only be in a way where you're doing it in a minus 1 fashion. Now it's not limited to the 40 minus 1 night, it's not limited to the 39th night, if on the 31st night you want to count tonight is 31, or on the 30th night if you want to count tonight is 31 minus 1, whatever, you would also be able to fulfill your obligation. Because any minus 1, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, we see in Chazal, is counted as a mispar, as a number. If you have other sophisticated math, even if it's basic math, 3 plus 3 to get to 6, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you would not be able to fulfill your obligation of counting in such a fashion. Based on this, okay, I had that question. I don't know, because I'm not familiar. I mean, could be there is. I just don't have a riot at this point that we have a riot in Chazal that plus one is also a way of counting. If there is, I'll be happy to discuss it. Right, okay, fine. Perhaps, but I'm not sure if that's a good riot. Okay, let's move on for a second.
You're counting one and one.
Right, okay. It's not adding it over there. Okay. Based on this, if someone would come over to you tonight and say, Yanko, what's tonight's Sfira? You should not be able to say tonight is 31 minus 1. Because just like you can't say tonight is 30, and if you say tonight is 30, is Shaila, if you see a sphere and you can't count with the bracha, and we just said now that counting in a minus 1 fashion is considered counting, so if someone would ask you on the 30th night, what's tonight's sphere? You have to say last night was 29, as opposed to saying tonight is 31 minus 1, because 31 minus 1 would be 30, and we just said that's a minus 1 factor as if you've counted the correct number.
But if 32 minus 2 would be okay.
Right. Right, or 39 minus 8. Yeah, right, 100%. Only the minus 1. However, the Ber Moshe, the Deber Tzina Rav in Shuvah, to number 8, says, if someone answers in a wisecrack fashion, if you go over to a guy and he answers you in such a fashion, it's clear that the guy had no intention to be Yitzhak. He's just trying to be a cute guy. He's trying to answer in a cute fashion. So he says, therefore, even though the Poskim are saying that someone could be Yitzhak in a minus 1 fashion, however, if someone would respond like that, he's saying, halacha, he's passing that you would not be yet to the mitzvah, and you can still continue to count with the bracha. So again, if someone come over to you tonight, all right, okay, I didn't use that word specifically for, and you'll see why in a minute, but he used that word, the truth is, but I don't want to make it depend on kavanah or not, I want to make it depend that it's mukhruch, the guy is trying to be a wisecrack. Because that's not a way you answer a question. So if you're answering it in such a fashion, it's poshut. Whether or not, don't get involved, don't get bogged down if it's mitzvah shichas kavanah, mitzvah ein shichas kavanah. It's poshut that the guy, it was like having that kavanah lo lahaitzi, specifically. Okay, now the Paiskim can also discuss, which comes up a little bit, and the Birk Yaisi discussed a little bit, of if you count Sfira in a shorthanded way. Now there's two ways to do this, meaning you can write, let's say the 17th night of the Omer, you can write If let's say you're writing for example, you can write Hayoim Toiv Yomim Loimer, right? Tonight is Toiv Yom, so that's 9 plus 6 plus 2, that'll be 17. Now it's Pashit, like we spoke out before, that counting with a more than in any other mathematical equation besides a minus 1, you would not be Yaitse. And besides the fact, if you're writing it, that gets involved in machlokes we had before, if ksivos kedibur or not. So, if someone's writing in a shorthanded fashion, it's going to be dependent on the machlokes, if number one, if ksivos kedibur or not. Since we said before, the bikyais of paskin, you would not be yaitza, so it's pashy, you wouldn't be yaitza. But even if one would count in such a fashion, like someone would say, hayoim toiv yom loimer, or a person would say, hayoim chai yomim loimer. Chai is 18, but it's because it's 10 plus 1. But it's not that chai is itself a misbar, it's not a number. Therefore, it would follow you would not be yaitz to the sphere in such an instance. Yeah. Now, the chshuk and chemed, yeah.
Prefers this, like with log ba'omer.
Okay, right. So it would be the same halacha. If someone would say, let's say this Wednesday night, someone would say, oh, tonight's log ba'omer. So according to most paiskim, and I understand this to be the halacha, that you would not be yaitz to the mitzvah. Even though I said tonight's lag ba'omer, but lag ba'omer is lamed plus gimel. That's sophisticated mathematics. That's not a simple minus one equation. Since you're getting involved in math, so according to most of the paiskim, you would not be yaitz to the mitzvah in such a case, and therefore you can make a bracha that night, meaning, let's say before Meyer, whatever the case is, someone asks you something, you say, oh, tonight's lag ba'omer, we could go to the bonfire. So you have not fulfilled your obligation, then you can go ahead now and count still with the bracha. And the Chashuk HaChemer brings a cute riddle, and at first glance, it's a Pashto Shaila, but I want to explain why it's not such a Pashto Shaila. He asks, where could we have a case where a person counted every single day of Sefira Se'omer, the weeks, the days, properly, with the and nonetheless, he cannot continue counting with the Bracha. Meaning, where's a case where somehow in the middle of days of Sefira Se'omer, he counted everything till now with the Bracha, days and the nights, and however, something happened in the middle, now he cannot continue making a Bracha anymore. So he brings from a tshuva Leif Chaim, which is Rav Chaim Falagi in Shuvas, Nechela Gimel, where Rav Chaim Falagi paskins that if someone is having a good deep sleep, and while he's having a good gezunta shluf, he has his dream where he stands up, and he makes the bracha, Asherik, and the Sharm, and Svayis, and Tzivanu, Al Svira Sema, and he counts the correct night of that night's Svira, he is not Yotz of the Mitzvah. And he brings a riot from Gemara Megillah, where a person listening to the Megillah, and he is, if he's fully asleep, the Gemara says he's not yaitz to the mitzvah, but if he's nim v'loy nim, tir v'loy tir, he's kind of dozing in and dozing out, and he can answer a question, then he could fulfill his obligation. So you see, he says from here, from that Gemara Megillah, that if a person is in a deep shluf, he's for sure not yaitz to the mitzvah. Now he'll tell me it's pashit. What's the tzad if a guy's sleeping, the guy's in another world, so to speak, why should I think a guy's yaitz to the mitzvah? Now, there's a fascinating halacha, and I don't want to get stuck in this halacha, I just want to bring up this halacha and why to emphasize this might be a good shaila. There's a halacha in Hilchos Nedarim in Siman Reish Yud, the Mechaber paskins, that if someone is sleeping, he's totally out. He has no idea what, you know, you can talk to him, he's not responding. He's totally in a deep sleep. And in his dream, he makes a neder that I will do the following action. The halacha is the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a person has to be made for that neder. When you accept that neder as binding, it's Machalikus Rishonim. The Mechaber brings both deyas. Yeshayim that it's not chal, Yeshayim that it's chal. But Mechaber paskins that we have to be machmir and a person has to accept upon himself that neder, even though during the day he never said it, maybe even never thought about it. If it only happened in La La Land while he was totally dreaming, nonetheless, halacha is that a person is obligated to keep that neder. So I'm just bringing that out on the table to explain why there are certain cases in halacha where a dream has a binding a commitment, even in a mitzvah form, like for a neder. Nonetheless, though, for Sefira Se'omer, even if a person counted the right nights and the right days, if he didn't count during the day at all, he cannot continue counting with the bracha. Now,
the mitzvah to be safer the shavuos, is that also a direct song?
According to many Rishonim, yes.
Then why isn't it that we don't say something grace in the umrah, even if a person were to count the days, say like Yechzim said today is the 21st day, why don't we say something grace?
But because it's a bracha, so the bracha might not be the daraisa. You can't make a bracha.
I see.
Okay, now, On the cover page over here of the sheet, I wrote the following thing. Maybe people weren't paying attention, I'm not sure. Yom Aleph, the Parshas of Sfarta Mechem. This upcoming week's Parsha is Parshas Emor. And this week's Parsha tells us the mitzvah of Sefira Se'omer. One of the twice in the Parsha, Emor Re. It says, Usfarta Mechem. And the Gemara Darshins, in Menachos, Usfarta Mechem, that each and every person has to do his counting. As Tosfos explains, the Gemara's Havamina is that I would have thought that perhaps the mitzvah is only on Bezdin to count, the mitzvah is not called Yachav Yachid. Kemashmon, the Pasuk says, Usfartam Lochem, that's the mitzvah on each and every one of us to count the days. Now stop. Why would there be a Havamina that the mitzvah is only on Bezdin? The mitzvah is only for the rabbis to do. We never say this concept, mitzvah is on the rabbis to put tefillin on for us. The mitzvah is on Bezdin to say Kriyat Shema for us. Why would it have a Havamina that this mitzvah perhaps is only incumbent upon Bezdin and not incumbent upon every other, and not incumbent on every single Jew individually? What kind of Havamina is this? We don't find this by other mitzvahs that there's a Havamina that maybe only Bezdin has to put on tefillin. That every person has to put on tefillin. No one entertains such a possibility. There are certain mitzvahs which are incumbent on Bezdin as a unit to carry out for the tzibur. There's Malkus, Einshim, and Bezdin. Other mitzvahs which are, it's true, Bezdin counts them, but that's never a mitzvah which is for an individual to do. There's never any time a Bezdin is carrying out a mitzvah for us. It's when the point is that they're responsible to make sure that this mitzvah is done in a tzibur fashion, as a unit. But never for an individual. They can never fulfill an obligation for us. So I'm just trying to bring out, what's the Havamin of the Gemara that is sad that Bezdin should actually fulfill this obligation for us? So I saw from Rav Asher Weishlita, he puts forth an idea. I don't think it's a finished thought, but I just want to present it. And I think with that idea, it helps understand why the Paiskim grapple so much with the halachas of Omer, and why we have all these discussions which we don't find by other mitzvahs. Because the Aruch HaShulchan brought up the question which we really spoke at before, number 6, of why is there a tzad by Sfiras Omer that Ksivas Kedibor. There's no tzad by Kriyishma Ksivas Kedibor. There's no tzad by during davening one morning, I'm not in the mood of speaking out Kriyishma, I'll take my pen and write down Shema Yisrael, Shem Lakeno, Shem Achad, write down the whole Kriyishma, I'll be Yotze. There's no tzad by Shemon Esrei, if I take my pen and write Hashem Esfos, I Tiftach, etc., I'll be Yotze my mitzvah. Why is it by Sfiras Omer we have such a possibility? So Rav Asher Weiss suggests as follows. He says, in general, when someone counts something, when you're counting your money, when you're counting your merchandise, the point of counting something is to get to the end point. The counting is not the end result of what I'm doing. To count is just to know the specific amount of items that I have and where I'm up to. When it comes though, to a typical mitzvah that's done b'dibur, kriya shema, tefillah, etc., the words itself are the mitzvah. The avodas Hashem is to say the words of kriya shema. And the halach is by Krishma or by Tfilah. If I say in Lashon HaKodesh, even if for whatever reason I don't understand what I'm reading and I don't have an article sitter, nonetheless, I say the mitzvah in Lashon HaKodesh, I fulfilled my obligation. When it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, the Poskim say, if I don't understand Lashon HaKodesh, it's very possible I have not fulfilled my obligation. Why not? If it's just a simple mitzvah b'dibur, I should have fulfilled my obligation. So he says it's Poshit. Sfiras HaOmer is in the same category as the Sfira of Yimei HaZava. We had in 2 weeks ago, Parsha of Tazria Mitzayra of Azov has to count Shiv and Nikiyim, or if other mitzvahs of Sfira Torah like Meiser Behema. A person has to count his animals, every 10th animal is Kadosh. That animal is Meiser. So it's Pashit, the point of the counting there is just a way to the, it's just a medium to get to the end result, which is that the 10th animal is Kadosh, this woman has completed her Shiva Nikiyim. So it's Pashit, that the mitzvah of Sfira Omer is the point is not necessarily the Sfira itself. That's true, we have a mitzvah to count the days, but the point of the mitzvah, as the Gemara says, is to count the days and be Mekadesh Atzeres. The point is to get to Kabbalah Satayra. So with this idea, he says we can explain why the place can have so many questions by Sfiras HaOmer, which we don't find by other mitzvahs. Like the halacha of mitzvahs trichas kavana. That is a pashta halacha by other mitzvahs where the actual reading the words is the mitzvah, so I have to have kavana. But for example, where a mitzvah is the point of the end result, for example, a mikvah, putting up a roof, putting up a fence on a roof, or even bris milah, or he has another example of bir chametz. The kavana is not ma'akev, the mitzvah. Well, if I have no kavana, I hire Jose to put up my roof for me, he doesn't have to say any of the shame yichud before he puts on the fence for the roof. The point is, my roof has to be protected, that if anybody goes on the roof, there's a fence on it, and no one should fall off chas v'shalom. The point is, the baby has to have a bris. Now, it's true, the Gemara says that a yid has to perform the bris, right? But the Gemara says that's learned that from a gezeras HaKosef. There's a specific pasuk in the Torah which teaches me that. Meaning, without the specific gezeras hakosuf, the point is there has to be an incision on the boy's body, and if that could be done by a goy, perhaps it's done. Ah, where's the kavana? Mitzvah shrichas kavana. Kavana is when the mitzvah, when you're doing the mitzvah, which in itself is the mitzvah. Here, the point of doing the actions to get to the result. Sviras Omer says the point of the counting days of the Omer is to get to the result. So perhaps it says this is specifically over here. We have a shayla. Okay, this is not a finished thought. It's not finished because a lot of things have to tie together. But he's saying that just this idea, he says, is why at least we can entertain the possibility of why there's a shayla of ksiva kediba by svira, and we'll never entertain the possibility by kriyishma. Simply because sviras aymer, although it is a mitzvah, just like it's a mitzvah to be sviras yimei zava, but that's not the end. That's not the point of the mitzvah. The point is to get to the end result. So perhaps you can argue that by ksiva you're getting to the same end result or not. So that's going to be an argument. Some person will say yes, some person will say not. But no one argues by kriyishma because it's pasha that the mitzvah is to say the words of kriyishma. Okay, you can accept it or not accept it. I'm just throwing out there the svara, something to think about. Why is it that perhaps we have this discussion by sfiras and we don't have by other mitzvahs? Just wanted to conclude with a short vart from the Pri Chadash on Lag BaOmer, which is going to be this Thursday. It's a pashta shaila, which I share with our amuser, and I spoke out to the women a couple weeks ago. This question, I just want to bring out one extra point to it. We're all familiar with Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer comes, and we're besimcha. Why are we besimcha? Because the Talmid and Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. Let's stop and think for a minute. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 peers of students. He had 24,000 Talmidim. Within roughly a month's period, they all died out. Okay? Let's say, for example, someone had $24,000 invested in a stock. Every day he watched over $700 go down the tubes. Totally get lost out. He's ripping the hair out of his head every day. At the end of the month, when all his money is gone, is he going to make a party because he stopped losing money? There's no reason to make a party that he stopped losing money. The reason why he stopped losing money is because he's out of money. What are we celebrating? Asked the Achrayim on Lag BaOmer. Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim stopped dying? It's simple why they stopped dying, because there was no one left. Why is that a cause for celebration? It should be the greatest cause for Avelos. Lag BaOmer should be a day of Avelos, because everybody's gone. Like the Rav spoke out on Shabbos, the Gemara says the world was shumming, it was desolate at that point. Says the Pri Chadash, a short point, and I think it's very strong, and the Chidah backs it up even stronger in number 11. The Pri Chadash says that perhaps the Simcha on Lag BaOmer is not the fact that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim stopped dying, because that's true, that would be a cause for depression, a cause for Avelos. The point is, Rabbi Akiva took the message to heart, internalized the message, he went down south to Eretz Yisrael, he found five new Talmidim, and he started again. Because if you take Rabbi Akiva's life, look at it for a minute, take a global picture of it, it's kind of sad what happened to him. He started with nothing, he was the Spitz Am Eretz, he gets married to this rich girl who's kicked out of her father's house, he has no money, he goes 24 years, studies in yeshiva, he builds up an empire of 24,000 Talmidim, and in a month, it's all gone. That's enough to send anybody into a deep something that's not going to let them rebuild. Rabbi Akiva realizes this, there's a message here. He gets the message that Shleinogu covered Zebazeh. He dehairs that there was some lack of a fusion of Torah and Midos here. He's able to start again. The Simcha Lag BaOmer and the Chidah writes that Rabbi Akiva started Lag BaOmer again to teach the five new Talmidim. That's what we're celebrating. Rabbi Akiva was able to rise from the ashes and continue doing what he was able to do best, which was teach Torah. And thank goodness he did that, because that is our continued Maseres HaTorah. Roif of Torah Shabbat Peh is coming from Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. So the Simcha Lag BaOmer is not that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim stopped dying, but it's more than that. It's Rabbi Akiva started again. He started fresh. He started with a fresh start, and with that, he was able to infuse new energy into Torah Shabbat Peh, and which was zeicha to fulfill the days of Sfira properly, and zeicha to a richtige Kabbalah HaTorah.